Here and there in the pool, darker stains were spreading from the wounded and dying. Kin stopped the flow and set the machine to producing an antidote. When it delivered a bowl of foul blue liquid, she dragged the Kung up by his comb, tipped the bowl into his mouth in one motion, and let him fall back into the mire. After Silver dropped through the ruined roof, she and Kin toured the hall. The waiter was instructed to produce the various seal and heal ointments in its repertoire, and after some thought, Kin dialed for limb replacement stimulants. Usually such sophisticated medicine was frowned on for its cultural shock effects. But hell, the disc was one big cultural shock. With some of the wounded, she plastered the stuff on like mud and hoped. After a while, Marco groaned and sat up. He looked at them hazily. Kin ignored him.
"Lives men told them about the waiter producing alcohol," he said thickly. "Then when I gave them a demonstration, they began acting irrationally and demanding more. And then they started fighting."
"A fucking Valhalla machine," muttered Kin, and turned back to her work. There was a hoarse chuckle from the darkness under the roof, and a black feather floated down. They left at noon. The colony gathered to see them off. Many of the men had new white scars. Some displayed tiny limbs already growing from healed stumps. But several had died in the hall. The Valhalla machine had been too efficient. Eirik made a long speech in Latin and produced rare furs and two white hunting birds as farewell gifts. "Say we can't accept," said Kin. "Say anything. We can't afford to carry the weight. Say we can't go and repair the sun if we carry too much weight. It's almost true." Eirik listened to Silver's careful reply and nodded graciously. "I'd like to give him something, though," said Kin.
"Why?"
snapped Marco.
"Because she's still afraid the company might be behind the disc, and she wants to apologise. Isn't that right?"
said Silver. Kin ignored her. "Ask him for some timber," she said. "Scraps. And grass or hay, old bones, anything that was living. What I have in mind will mean the waiter will want feeding." They set the dumbwaiter up as a timber mill. After the first metre of fragrant smooth plank had been extruded from the hatch, the colony worked like robots. Great drifts of seaweed, washed up by the pounding sea, helped swell the heap by the input hopper. Today the sea moved like liquid mountains. Kin took the others aside while the colony was carting planks. "We fly," she said. "Overland as much as possible, but we fly. If the belt power looks like running out before we get to the hub, then we'll charge up one belt from the others, and Marco or I will go on alone. That means Silver can stay with the waiter."
"I'm inclined to agree," said Silver. "There can be nothing to lose. Marco should be the one to go on, of course. I am big enough to scare predators, and you can survive by engaging any male humans in sexual congress if necessary. Marco is best equipped to reach the hub."
It was an elephantine attempt at diplomacy, but Marco turned his head away.
"I am equipped for nothing," he said distantly. "I allowed myself to be provoked by humans. I am shamed."
"The blame is not wholly yours," said Silver generously.
"But Silver, I outnumbered them 1 to 30.
Spray flew like sleet over the village. A respectable pile of planks had grown around the dumbwaiter. Kin switched it off and adjusted its lift belt. The two Christos priests were standing apart from the crowd, chanting in Latin. "What are they saying?" said Kin. Silver listened for a moment.
"It's an invitation to Christos to allow us to repair his planets and sun, or alternately to strike us down if, as they suspect, we're servants of Saitan."
"Nice of them. Say goodbye for us, will you?" They rose quickly. The huts and then the beach were lost against the background of snow and foam-topped sea. The sea had gone mad. Waves piled on top of one another and burst and roared, sending spray almost as high as the flyers. On the disc, east couldn't be a direction. It had to be a point of the circumference. There were four directions on the disc. Circle right, circle left, in, out. They headed in. They circled the thing in the water carefully. Was it alive, Kin wondered, or was it just that the waves made it appear so? Once, a flipper broke water and slapped down again. She decided to go lower. She waited for warnings from Marco, but he had been subdued all day. Silver said nothing, but took advantage of the mid-air stop to reel in the waiter on its towline. Kin thought she could feel the cold air through the suit's 25 layers as she dived. The sky